Sing out your praises and say,
God has saved his people.
See how the Savior brings them from the end of the earth. Woman with child. Young men and old shall rejoice. God turns the mourning into gladness. Thank you. This is also the second Sunday of Christmas, and I will now light the Christ candle. We continue with the scripture reading for today, which comes from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. Okay? Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption and sonship through Jesus Christ, in according with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the time reaches their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. We now have Pastor Chris Liu, who will deliver the message for today.
All right. Well, good morning, everyone. Again, it's good to have you guys here. Let's go ahead and have the lights up and the rest. Can we turn on the lights? Thank you. You guys are so dark. I want to be able to see you guys. So good morning again. We're glad that you guys are here today. First of all, Happy New Year's. Welcome to the first Sunday again of the new year. Can we have the lights up? Can we turn up on the lights? Oh, whoever the lights are, thank you. There you go, perfect. It's not over there, I think they switched it. All right, so Happy New Year. We are glad that you guys are here worshiping with us this morning. Again, the first Sunday of this new year, and so we're glad that you're here. Last year, for those of you who had joined us, our theme for our English ministry was EM 2.0, and the idea EM meaning English ministry, and we wanted to quote-unquote upgrade our English ministry, wanted to make it better, and there were four building blocks that we had talked about over the course of the last year. First, that every person was a minister, that each one of you, whether you are a pastor, a deacon, an elder, or just a regular lay person who comes in, each one of you guys are a minister, that there's a purpose for you guys here in serving God's church and his people. Don't just leave it up to the quote-unquote leaders of the church, but each one of you should be a part of that. Next one, more than spiritual milk, we hope that we would go deeper in our faith, that we wouldn't just kind of have this head knowledge, but really learn and know what it means to live out our faith. Every ministry about people, we really wanted to make sure that we're connecting with one another, that this church is really a fellowship, a group of peoples, believers coming together. And then finally, Taiwanese Plus, looking that even though we are ethnically a Taiwanese church founded by Taiwanese peoples, that we know that the gospel isn't just for Taiwanese people, right? It's for the world, it's for everyone. While that is our identity as a church, we also know that we want to reach out to the world and to everyone and include everyone as well. So that was our theme, and hopefully for those of you who are a part of our, you know, our services for the last year, that you remember some of these and that we are living this out still today in our church. Today, and for this upcoming year, we have a new theme, and our theme is First Love. And we wanted to kind of come back to the root of our faith and really talk about God's love and what that looks like. There's a lot of different aspects of God's love, and so we are going to look through different parts of what God's love looks like. And so for the next couple of months, all the titles will have some sort of love, some type of love that we're going to talk about God's love. So today, the topic and the title that I called it is Predestined Love. And we're going to get into this coming from Ephesians chapter 1. But before we get into this, go ahead and pray one more time. And then we'll get into this. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you so much again for this new year. And we thank you that we have this church. We thank you for just the things that you have been doing in 2015 and things that you'll continue to do this upcoming year. We are excited to see just more and more lives being changed. We're excited to see just you working here and using us to be a part of this great thing that you have called us to do and be a part of. And so we just pray that you would continue to reveal yourself to us, that we would really be able to know your love and know it well, and to be able to love you back in that same way and love others as well. And so I just pray for this time as we get into your word that you would open up our hearts, our minds, just to the truth that you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last year, 2015, was a big year for me. For those of you who know, I became a father on March 7th. This is me and JJ, Joshua, Jeremiah, Liu, and this is a couple of minutes before, right after he was born. And so it was a big, big year becoming a dad. It has been very tiring. I am tired all the time, but it has also been a great joy, a great blessing to have him in our lives. And I love this guy. It's really cool just to see him grow each day. He's almost 10 months now, 10 months on Friday, and he is doing a lot of cool things, seemingly learning new things every single day, and it's been really cool just to see him grow and develop. And again, I love him with all my heart. I really can say that. Now, the neat thing, I think, for me at least, is that I loved my son even before I knew him. And when May and I, my wife, we were talking about even, you know, having kids and trying, you know, we even started praying for him or for her. We didn't know who it was going to be. We started praying for this unborn child of ours, right? And we prayed for it that, you know, that when God so chooses to bless us with this child, that we would be good parents, that you would, you know, watch over him and bless him. And then when I find out that May was pregnant, super excited, right? And, you know, and I started, you know, talking and singing to her belly, you know, even though he probably didn't hear me or anything like that. But, you know, just, you know, show, hey, I'm here and I love you and I'm talking to you even before he was born, you know, and I love him. I love him so much. And it's been really great having him, you know, and in my mind back then even, I was like, you know, I don't know what he's going to be. Maybe he's going to come out and, you know, maybe he will have some weird deformities or some mental problems or whatever it is, you know. But God, I trust and I believe that I'm going to love him because he is my son. He is my child. You know, I'm going to love him no matter what. And God, fortunately, you know, God has blessed us with a very healthy child, and he's doing a lot in learning and seems very normal, I guess you could say. But it's great to have him. But I don't know. I don't know what the future holds. Maybe he's going to be super rebellious. Maybe we're going to have a lot of arguments. Maybe we're going to fight a lot. I don't know what that looks like. But I really trust and I really believe that, again, that I'm going to love him and continue to love him, you know, with all my heart, because he is my child. Somebody wrote this. It's a little bit cheesy, but it's kind of what I think kind of sums it up. Before you were conceived, I wanted you. Before you were born, I loved you. Before you were here an hour, I would die for you. This is the miracle of love. And that's kind of what I do believe I have for my child. In the same way, and the analogy is not perfect, But kind of in the same way, God has this type of love for us. That his love, and I call it predestined love, that he loved us even before we were made, even before creation, before anything happened, he loved us. Now the word predestined, I know, brings up a lot of stuff. And so for some people, it brings up more questions than comfort. And I know this is a kind of a deep topic, because when people think about predestination, they usually tend to jump straight to this idea of free will versus predestination. And I don't want to get into this too much today. That's not the focus. But since I did bring it up, this is my quick super take. I believe, so there's people on both sides. There's people who are free will only. Some people are really predestination only. I find myself kind of in the middle, and I know that might be just kind of a compromise. But I this is the way that I see it happening and how this works. God's giving us free will and also his predestination. I believe that God is outside of time, that this is a timeline, and God is God. And he is there before, after, future, all that. And so what God can do, because he's outside of time, he can see the future, and he knows the future, and he knows the decisions that we will make. And so because of that, he can see who chooses him or not. And he says, okay, well, I've seen all these choices. I've seen what you made. I'm going to allow you free will to make those choices. And for those who believe, I predestined you, I called you. And there's great promises in that calling, that predestination that I have for you. So that's the way that I kind of work it out. Again, people have different thoughts. Some pastors have different ideas about this. If you have more questions, you can talk to me about that, or I'm sure other pastors have had these questions before, so you can talk to them about it as well. But I didn't want to, again, focus too much on that today. What I really wanted us to focus on is not really whether God has predestined us, free-willed us, or whatever it is in between us, but what is that end result? You know, what was God's, again, original plan, design? What was his purpose for mankind? Because I believe that ultimately, right, we are all sinners, and we all need Christ. That's what both sides, predestined or free-willed, whatever, Arminian, Calvinism, whatever, they all believe. We're all messed up. We're all sinners, and we all need Christ. Christ is the only one who can save us. And there is great joy and great hope in what God has for us down that line. So let's go ahead again, look at the Bible, and I'll kind of walk through some of these things. And I wanted to, again, focus on God's love, God's original plan design for us, okay? So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up again. I'll have it on the screen as well, but it's always good to get into God's Word and have it in front of you here. So this is the ESV version, and let me read the first four verses again. Blessed be God, and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, as he even chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, in which he has blessed us in the beloved. All right, we lost signal. It is back. Great. All right, so before God began the world, right, this is what he says. He had a great plan, and he had something that each one of us wanted. He wanted for each one of us in his creation. And it says here that God has for us, and he desires for us, and one day we will be this, is that we are going to be chosen to be holy and blameless before him. God made us, and he made us to be in this close, intimate relationship with him. We are to be holy, we're to be set apart, different than everything else. And in the Garden of Eden, when God created man, man was different than the animals. He knew that he was different, holy and blameless, pure, perfect. And he wanted, and he had this perfect relationship with him. You guys can think about any of the relationships you have. You could choose the best relationship, whatever you think of it, whether it's your spouse, your significant other, your best friend, family members, father, mother, whatever it is, whoever you said, your pet, if that's your favorite relationship that you ever have, those, whatever relationship it is, you know, those are all flawed. Those are all imperfect, right? We are messed up people, but God, you know, has this desire to have this perfect, intimate relationship with Him, one where we can be completely honest with Him. There's no judgment from Him, that He can understand us, and we can trust Him fully. This is the type that He wants for us. Now, we know that right now, that is not the case, right? Unfortunately, because of sin, because man chose to be, to be sinful, to be selfish, and chose themselves over God, we are now living in a broken world, and we are broken people living broken lives. The good thing, thankfully, is that right now God is still forgiving us, right? That right now we can still have this relationship with Him, that He is still working that out in us, but it's still not there perfect, right? We're not quite there yet. We still have our struggles, we still have fights, we still have issues in our lives, we still have struggles that we face, some temptations that we fall into, all these different things, right? We are not living that perfect life that God desires for us. But in the passage again, it says that He has called us, chosen us to that. So one day, we are going to be fully restored, that He is going to take, this broken life of ours, and He's going to make it new. He's going to make all things new. And that is a great hope that we have, a great joy that we can look forward to, that one day in heaven that we are going to have this perfect body, that we're going to be just as He has made us to be, that we're going to be once again in this close, intimate, perfect relationship with Him. And that we're going to be fully satisfied. That right now, even though all the different things in our lives we try to reach, partially satisfied, but they fade away, ultimately we're going to be fully satisfied in Christ and God. And that's what we can look forward to. Right? This is the type of relationship that God has for each one of us. And so, again, for us who are believers, right, who have given ourselves, our lives over to Christ, we can look forward to that. We can look forward in saying that God has set this out in front of us, that we are going to have this amazing relationship with Him down the line. Right now, we're working towards that. We're working it out in our own lives right now. But we have this perfect thing ahead of us to look forward to. The other thing that we see here in the first four verses is that God has also adopted us, right, into His family. That we are now children of Him, right? That we are sons and daughters of Him who is the King. We, again, as broken people, are fatherless, in a sense. Like, we are kind of orphans. If you guys have watched the movie Annie, right? Either the old one or the new one. This idea about this orphan kid, right, who has, doesn't know who their parents are, and then gets taken in by this really rich person, and lives, this lavish life, and everything that they kind of had, is theirs for this short period of time in this movie. But for us, and in this idea with God, is God has adopted us into His family forever. That we now are a part of His kingdom. We're a part of what He has. And we're going to talk about this more down the line. We have an inheritance that we have in Him, which is great. And so we are adopted into His family. We have a father. I don't know about you guys. Maybe some of you guys have poor relationships with your fathers, and this is not comforting to you. You're like, I don't want to. If God is like my father, I don't want that. But know that God is not your father, as good as He is or as bad as He is. God is greater. That God is, again, this perfect Father. Who loves us and cares for us and provides for us and just, forgives us and gives us grace and mercy and His justice and helps us grow and all these things. God is all of that. That is who He is. Okay? And that we have that, again, type of relationship with Him. As we continue to read on through the next couple of verses, it says this: In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. The first couple of things that we see from this part of it is that God has through his son, Jesus Christ, first of all, he has redeemed us. We are sinners. If you guys, this is very, I guess, Christianity 101. But we are all sinners, and we have a debt that we owe God, okay, because of our sin. You can think of it, yeah, as this. We owe him our lives. We owe him something because we have wronged him. And yet, because of Christ, from him dying on the cross, right, he has paid that in full. No longer do we owe him anything, but he says we are forgiven, right? That you are, that debt is gone, right? No longer do you owe me anything. You know, I have paid it in full. You are free from your sin, also redeeming you, kind of pulling you out from that bondage of sin. That is also what he has promised for us through Jesus Christ. Another promise that he says again is his forgiveness is there for us. No matter what you have done in the past, no matter what mistakes you have made, no matter the sins that you will do in the future, God has forgiven you through his son, Jesus Christ, through what he has done on the cross. Now I know for many of us who have grown up in the church, again, this is very, like, I've heard this before. You know, I know this is basic, kind of, you know, part of our faith. But really, again, think about that, right? Think about if we were still to owe Christ, you know, what we would have to do. There's so much. We'd never be able to live up again to whatever he desires for us, right? A lot of times, I think, you know, we as Asians, a lot of times, there's this pressure, right, to be perfect, right? And there's this pressure that we have to succeed and do all these things. And sometimes we feel like God is that way, right? That God is up there and kind of like, you know, what do you have for me? You're still not good enough, you know. 4.0, not good enough, you know. Whatever, you gave all your money, it's not good enough, right? But God, again, is not like that, right? He's like, he loves it. He loves us so much, and he loves it when we come to him. Again, give us just our lives to him, and he, you know, he has us, yeah, and he forgives us when we mess up. And he restores that relationship with us every time we mess up. And so this is what, you know, we have in Christ Jesus. We have this in him. And the next thing that we also kind of see here is that God also, and I know it cut out on us again. It's okay. In verse 9 and 10, it says, making known to us the mystery of his will according to the purpose which he has set forth in Christ as a plan in the fullness of time to unite all things in heaven and all things on earth. God has a great plan for us. And I think this is really neat, okay? That he not only just saves us and not only just calls us to be in a relationship with him and, you know, he just says, all right, I adopt you, you're part of my family, now let's go ahead and we're just going to run off and just stay in our own little area and just be by ourselves and enjoy life together. But there's actually a purpose, okay? God actually has a plan for each one of you. He has something that he calls each one of you to. I don't know what that is exactly, okay? Specifically, I think God has something specific for each one of you. But he does also call us to be a part of what he is doing here in this world already. And I believe that God's plan for us, God's purpose for each one of you, includes a couple of things, right? He includes, you know, this calling for you personally, you know, your job, whatever part, you know, of ministry or people you're going to serve, all these things. But there's a greater thing that he has called us to, and this is a calling that is a part of, you know, rescuing people, right? And he has called us to unite all things to him, right? In heaven and in earth and all things to him. You know, part of us, of what he wants for each one of us, is to be a part of that salvation process. Now again, we can't save people on ourselves, okay? We that's only up to God. We can't save people. But we can be a part of this process, and it's really exciting to do that. I don't know if you've ever shared the gospel with somebody and you've, quote-unquote, led them to Christ, but it's really cool, right, to see people kind of click and that thing kind of, they say, oh, I get it now. I see why, you know, what the Bible really means. I get it, to really understand God's love for me. And there's great joy in that, and kind of walking somebody through not, you know, before they did not believe, and all of a sudden now they do, and seeing them kind of change in that process and grow. And God wants us to be a part of that. And I hope that you guys are excited about that, that you guys would want to be a part of that, that you would see opportunities, you know, in your workplaces, in your school, in your classes, that, hey, there are a lot of people who, you know, maybe relatives, again, people that don't know Christ yet. And, you know, God uses us, you know, our story, and be like, hey, this is what I've learned. You know, let me tell you about it. Let me tell you what I've been learning in church. And I believe God has this great love for you, and he wants you to be saved. And let's walk through this process together. You might have your questions. You might have your doubts. That's cool, you know, but let's talk about it. And let me walk with you through it. So hopefully we see that God also is calling us to do this. This is part of our calling. Okay, this is part of us as Christians, is to be, to do this, to be a part of this rescuing process, which is really, really cool. The last section that we kind of see here, verses the last 11 to 14 says this: in him we have obtained the inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise be his glory. So Paul here, again, he's just writing. He gets really excited. A lot of times he just kind of rambles on and on. He kind of goes on deeper and deeper in his faith, in what he thinks about. But here he says one thing. He says, we have obtained an inheritance. Again, we are adopted into his family. We are sons, daughters of him. And a part of that, the goodness is that we have an inheritance. We have something that he has given us, because we are his sons and daughters. There's a lot of different things. Here's a list of some of the things that he has given us. As children in God's family, we're given the riches of his grace, kindness, patience, glory, wisdom, power, and mercy. We also have eternal life, which is awesome. And he also gives us the Holy Spirit, which lives in us and guarantees that all these things are to come. Now, I know you might look at the list, you might be like, those are okay. Like, he gives us, they're not like materialistic things, right? They're not like he gives us money and he gives us, you know, power in terms of like authority over peoples and stuff like that. But he does give us, you know, these neat things, I think, that we should really treasure as well. You know, that he has given us his grace, that even though, again, that we don't deserve it, he has given us his grace. And that we can also give grace to others as well, right? His kindness, his patience, which I think we need a lot of times. Right now we live in an age where everything is a now and must need it now. You know, everything's instant. But God gives us a patience, and there's great joy in having that. He gives us glory, wisdom. He does give us power through him to be able to overcome, you know, sins and overcome difficulties in our lives. He has given us mercy. Yeah, he has given us his eternal life. And ultimately, again, the Holy Spirit who is with us. Right? He has given us all these things. This other idea of inheritance that I think is kind of interesting for us to think about is that there's this idea of passing things on to the next generation. Right? As parents, they build up something. Right? They work very hard. And I know my parents, they came from Taiwan. Right? And my dad always says that when he came, he had two suitcases, and that was it. You know, that was all he had. And he made a life for himself, right? And he did all these things. And, you know, he builds this up for the purpose so that, not just for him living a good life, but so that he can pass it on to, you know, me and my sisters, right? And he's done that, that he has given us, you know, a lot. In the same way as parents, right? For those of you who are parents, you think about your children, right? And you're like, you know, what am I going to leave behind, you know, for them, right? And I think there is something to that with our faith that I hope that we would have in our mind, that we would say, you know what, this faith, this relationship that I have with God, the salvation that God has given me isn't just for me. I'm just going to hoard it all for myself, and I'm just going to, you know, run away with it, right? But I'm going to want to pass this on to the next generation, right? I'm going to give this to the next generation. So for me, I think it's great. I get to work with a lot of youth, right? That's kind of my ministry here, and kind of investing in their lives, and hopefully that they are, you know, learning again about what it means to be a Christian, and for them that their foundation would be good, so that when they go off, you know, to college and they graduate, and when they have kids, right, that they will continue, right, to just serve God and love God and pass that on to their kids, right? And I think we have that. We should have that mindset that, hey, who are the people, again, around us, in our lives? I want to invest in these people, in our neighbors, and the people sitting next to you, and say, I want to invest in you guys, you know, and I want to say, I want to help you guys to grow in your faith so that it doesn't just stay with you and that's it, but that you can learn and grow and move it on to the next person and pass it on, right, to the next group of peoples, right, their kids and all, and so on and so forth, that they would tell their friends and their family members, right, in that way, there's this inheritance, right, this giving on, that this legacy kind of continues, if you would, right, continue on and on and on. And I think God has this, he calls us, and he says, you know what, I have set this ahead of time for you guys, okay, all of you, all of what I have is yours. Now take it, enjoy it, but don't just hoard it for yourself. Let's move that on. Let's pass it on to the next group, right? And let's continue to give it on, and on and on and on. Again, I started with this talking about myself, of my life and how, you know, my life has changed so dramatically this year, right? With being a father, and I think as I read this passage about, you know, God's love for his children, and God's, you know, inheritance for his children. You know, for me, it makes it a lot deeper, right? I'm like, oh, I get it more now, you know, now that I have a kid for myself, and how much that I'm going to want to build into, you know, JJ's life. You know, I want him to grow, you know, up knowing how much God loves him. You know, I want to teach him that and have him see how great it is to have this fellowship of believers, to have him to learn about how to give grace to others and about forgiveness and, you know, to overcome when we fail, you know, it's okay to keep going. And I want to build that into him, you know. And for each one of us here, you know, I hope that we too would have that same, again, that same heart and desire to do that with others, okay, with your own family members, with your friends, again, coworkers, that you say, you know what, this isn't just for me. You know, and I want to pass this on to you. I want you to know how great God has loved, even before time began, even before the world began. He already saw and he said, you know what, I love you guys, I love my creation. You know, I'm going to die for you guys, even though you mess up time and time again, even though, you know, you disobey me, you know, I still forgive you, I still love you, right? This is the relationship, intimate, that I'm calling you back. Every single time. I'm here waiting for you to return, right? And I love you. I pursue you at the same time. Doing all these things. This is the relationship that God has for us. Okay, so as we kick off this new year, okay, we're talking about God's love, right? Talking about who he is. Know this, that God loves each one of you, right? He loved you before time, and he was going to continue to love you guys in that same way. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, I want to thank you again just for your great love that you have for us. We thank you that you have saved us through your Son, Jesus Christ, that nothing surprised you, that you knew that we would mess up, but you already had a plan. You had a plan for us to be saved. You had a plan for us to be redeemed, that you have forgiven us, and that you have called us your sons and daughters, that we are part of our family, that we have this great inheritance, and that I pray that we would take that and we would tell others about it, that we wouldn't just keep it to ourselves. And so, yeah, we pray that you would continue to teach us more and more about your love in this upcoming year, and we may be able to love you more, love others as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Would you please stand as we respond to God's word and song?